afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Yashashri, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the conference call of Garden Reach Shipbuilders and Engineers Limited, arranged by Concept Investor Relations to discuss its Q2 and H1 FY25. We have with us today Commodore P. R. Hari, Indian Navy retired, Chairman and Managing Director, and Sri R. K. Dash, Director of Finance and CFO. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Commodore P. R. Hari, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, SST. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to each one of you. I am P. R. Hari, Chairman and Managing Director of the company. And with me here are Sri Ramesh Kumar Dash, Director of Finance and CFO, Mrs. Aparajita Ghosh, General Manager of Finance, and Sri Sandeep Mahapatra, the company secretary. I extend my warm welcome to each one of you for sparing your valuable time to attend this call. Our Q2 results have been very encouraging, and before I provide the highlights of our financial performance, let me provide you an insight on our physical performance. Our order book as on 30th September 2024 stands at ₹24,221.37 crores. This comprises of 12 projects with 43 platforms, including 4 export projects comprising of 10 platforms. These include 17 warships for the Navy, that is 3 P-17 Alpha Advanced Stealth Frigates, 4 next-generation ocean-going patrol vessels, 8 anti-submarine shallow water crafts, 2 survey vessels large, and 1 oceanographic research vessel for the Ministry of Earth Sciences, 1 acoustic research vessel for a DRDO organization, the NPOL, 13 hybrid ferries for the government of West Bengal, an ocean-going tug for the government of Bangladesh, and a dredger and 3 patrol boats again for the government of Bangladesh, 5 multi-purpose vessels for a German client, and 1 fully electric ferry for the government of West Bengal. So as I said, 12 projects, 43 platforms. I will now give you an insight as to what the projects are currently, what status the projects are currently at, and what is our execution plan. Coming to the P-17 Alpha project, this is a 3-ship project. All 3 ships have been launched, and the first ship has already attained around 83% of physical progress, the second ship around 65%, and the third ship around 50%. The first ship is expected to be delivered during the mid of next year, that is August 2025, and we intend completing this project by August 2026. Coming to the survey vessel large project, this is a 4-ship project, and we have already delivered 2 ships. The second ship, first ship was delivered last year, that is December 4th, 2023, and the second ship was delivered on 8th of October 2024. Now the next 2 ships are at advanced stages of construction, with the third ship of the project having completed around 78% physical progress, and the fourth ship following closely at 72% physical progress. We intend delivering both these ships by the mid of next calendar year, that is the first quarter of FY26. The next project is the anti-submarine shallow water craft project. This is the 8-ship project. And the first of these ships have already completed the contractor field trials, and it is now getting ready for delivery. We expect the ship to be delivered during January 2025. So from then, the second ship is right now at around 83% physical progress, the third ship is around 70% and so on. And we intend completing this project by October 2026. That means delivery of all the 8 ships by October 2026. The fourth project that we are undertaking for the Indian Navy is the next generation offshore patrol vessel. This again is a four-ship project. The progress is good so far. We have commenced production of all the four ships, and the keel of two of these ships have been laid very recently. The first two ships have touched around 35% progress, and the last two ships around 25%. The delivery of these ships will be completed by 2028. As I had mentioned earlier, in addition to these projects for the Indian Navy, we have a plethora of projects being undertaken, both for the state government, the federal government research organizations, and also a few export projects. As per our current assessment, all these projects will be completed by 2028, that is FY29. I have so far given you a glimpse of the orders currently in hand and what is now on the anvil. Again, I shall give you a glimpse so that you get an understanding as to what are the orders that are likely to be, that are likely to materialize in the coming years. We had concluded a contract initially for four multipurpose vessels with an option clause for another four vessels. This option clause has been exercised and the fifth vessel contract has been signed, and we intend signing the contract for three more vessels by March 2025. We are also the L1. We have been declared L1 through a tendering process for two coastal research vessels for the Geological Survey of India, and the price negotiations are currently in progress. This is a two-ship project. One project that I have been mentioning in every interaction that we had before is the Next Generation Corvette project. The bids have already been submitted, and currently the technical evaluation of the bids is in progress, and we expect the L1 declaration sometime during December 24, Jan 25. This is the 8-ship project, with the L1 shipyard getting 5 ships and the L2 shipyard 3 ships, and the L1 shipyard for 5 ships, the expected order value is around 22,500 crores. The RFPs that are likely to come from the Navy and the Coast Guard in the near future are for the next generation survey vessels large, that is 5 ships. Approximate value of the project is around 3,000 crores. Next generation ocean going patrol vessels, offshore patrol vessels for the Indian Coast Guard, 6 ships. Approximate order value is around 2,000 plus crores. Next generation fast patrol vessel, this is a big project in numbers, 18 ships, and the order value is around 3,500 to 4,000 crores, and two multipurpose vessels for the Indian Navy, approximate order value around 1,200 crores. This is in addition to the other projects that the Navy has plans for, the P-17 Bravo project for which the AON has already been accorded. This is a 7-ship project, and the total order value is around 70,000 crores. So as per the DAP timelines, the RFP will be promulgated in the due course. We expect the RFP to come out in the financial year 2026. This gives you also a highlight of the orders that are on the anvil. Now I'll touch upon the financial performance of the company for the quarter ending 30th September 2024. As I had mentioned, the results have been very encouraging, and if you are doing a year-on-year comparison, our revenue from operations have gone up from 898 crores to 1,153 crores, that is registering a growth of around 28%. Total income from 969 crores to 1,228 crores, 27% growth. The EBITDA has gone up from 120 crores to 144 crores, 19% growth. And the profit after tax registering a growth of 21% from 81 crores to 98 crores. Our order book is good. We are flush with orders, as a matter of fact. And we expect more orders to come in the future. And I have been consistently maintaining that we have a very clear execution strategy. And so the future looks bright. With that, I close my introductory address. And I'm open for any questions as the moderator conducts the further course of events.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Rifat Fatma from Yashvi Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
So my first question is on the gross margin front. Why have we seen the cost going up so high this quarter?
Could you please repeat your voice? Sounded a bit loud.
May I request you to use your handset mode?
Yes. So I was. Is it clear now?
A little better.
Yeah. So I was asking, why has the cost gone up so high in this quarter?
Cost? Is that what you mean?
Cost of materials.
Yes. Yes. Yes, definitely the cost has gone up because the cost is directly dependent on the project maturity stage. What I'm trying to convey is that in the initial stages of the project, the material cost would be less, and as the project mature, the material cost automatically goes up. This in turn gets translated into the value of production. Now, just to give you an example, in a conventional warship composition in terms of value, the material cost is from 65% to 70%. In the initial stages of project, when the basic hull construction and the design and the commercial activities are in progress, the material input is very, very less. When the project reaches the maturity stage of between 40% to 60% of physical progress, then the material input goes up and therefore the cost. So it is a natural phenomena in a shipbuilding cycle.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Karan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for considering my question. My first question is, like, what is the current utilization rate of the dockyards?
Okay, do you have any more questions? Then I will address all of them together.
Hello.
Do you have any more questions? You can ask a question on the utilization of
I have like total around three questions. The first question is like, what is the current utilization rate of dockyards? And the another question is like, which countries do you see importing from you the like most?
This question I didn't get. Which country would be importing?
Yeah.
Could you repeat the second question once again? Which country would be?
Which countries, you see, like, importing the most?
Okay. Next question, you said three questions.
Yeah, and the last question is, like, can you brief us about, like, more about the, like, double lane, clay, 70, steel, and Bailey Bridges JV with NHAI? Like, how will this benefit you in the long term?
Okay, third question is on our MOU with NHA. How is it going to benefit more? Okay, I'll answer your first question. Dry dock I'll take on the questions one by one. The dry dock and building berths are the key assets that any shipbuilding industry requires. And the government shipbuilders have got adequate facilities. So you may be aware that there were three dedicated shipbuilding units all in Kolkata. And in addition, we have also taken over a facility from the Kolkata Porters, the Shyama Prasad Mukherjee Port, which comprises of three more dry docks. So we are good with the dry docks. Now, come to your question regarding the utilization. Right now, these dry docks and building berths are at around 70% of utilization. And again, I would like to highlight, I think I mentioned during the last earnings call that our stated shipbuilding capacity was for concurrent construction of 20 platforms, 20 warships. 8 large and 12 small and medium ships. What we have done was, considering the orders that we currently have and also the orders on the anvil, in addition to taking three dry docks on long-term lease from this Shyam Prasad Mukherjee port, we had also revitalized some of the existing facilities that we have. So with this initiative, we could augment our shipbuilding capacity from 20 to 24. And our current capacity is for construction of 24 warships concurrently. That is 8 large and 16 medium stroke small. So to put in a nutshell, our capacity utilization with respect to dry docks and building docks is about 70% as of now. Your second question was on the country which is importing and where our export potential is very high. Most of the European nations, that is Germany, Netherlands, and so on, they are now looking at India as a commercial shipbuilding hub. The results are very evident that almost all the Indian shipyards have orders from these clients. Earlier, they used to go to other nations for shipbuilding requirements, but now India is a sought-after destination, and we have orders that mentioned that we have an order for already for five multipurpose vessels, which will go up to 8 by March 25, and so do the other shipyards. So we expect this trend to continue, and the export potential would be more towards the European nations who need commercial vessels, and that too in large numbers. Coming to your third question was the significance of the MOU with National Highways, NHIDCL, National Highway Infrastructure Development Corporation. Now, this MOU we had concluded for a product of ours in the Bailey Bridges segment. As you are aware, Bailey Bridges is one of our, that is, portable steel bridges is a strong business vertical that we have, and we are a market leaders in this segment. We already had live MOUs with the Border Roads Organization earlier. We have expanded this to NHIDCL. With this MOU, we expect the orders to come in from the NHIDCL over the next 2 years for 75 bridges, the portable steel bridges. I hope I've addressed all your inquiries.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Hiren from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two small questions. First is on the breakup of the export and the domestic order book in terms of quantum and the percentage. And second is, would like to know your outlook on the green energy vessels and, you know, how that space is developing, you know, going forward, sir.
Sure. I will, while I dig out the data regarding exports and domestic breakup of orders, I will first address your query on the green energy sector. Please, this is a segment that has got huge potential. Now, some of the nations have mandated go green by as ambitious a target as 2030. India, too, is moving in the right direction. Already, the Ministry of Shipping has promulgated the Green Tug Transition Program, the GTTP. And in addition, many of the state governments are going green. When you say green, they're looking at zero-emission platforms, and the GRRC has already made a foray into this segment by through a partially research and development-funded project on a fully electric ferry for the government of West Bengal. And we have successfully completed this project. We are awaiting the formal handing over of the vessel to the government. And just for information, this is the largest in terms of passenger capacity, 150 passenger electric, fully electric ferry for the government of West Bengal. In addition, we also won an order for 15 more hybrid ferries, again from the government of West Bengal. It's a World Bank funded project. So currently in India, two shipyards, that is Cochin Shipyard and JRSD, have successfully completed the green energy vessels. So this is an area where we see huge potential, and we will definitely be an active part of the Green Tug Transition Program, which I'm very confident is moving in the right direction, where all the ports will be mandated to use fully green tugs. In addition to the GTTP, that is the Green Tech Transition Program, the Inland Water Authority of India, the IWAI, also has got requirements for green buses for inland water transportation. So this is an area where we see huge potential in the future. Thank you. Now coming to your first question on the breakup of export and the domestic orders. Our, as I have again reiterated before, our core business is domestic warship building. And the majority of our orders come from domestic warship building. And now, since we have made a foray into the non-defense platform also, still the shipbuilding segment is almost 99% of our orders. And coming to exports, within the shipbuilding segment, exports comes to around 3.17% as of now. And the domestic, that is the domestic value, is around 96%.
Okay, sir. Yeah, thank you. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a next question from the line of Harshit Kapadia from Ilara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Good evening, sir. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I'm able to hear you. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi. So two questions from my side. Could you please share the order book breakup project-wise? That is the first question. And second, sir, as you are now looking at 40% to 60% of your projects are in the mature stage, so once we cross this mature stage, again the margins will look up at a gross margin level as well as at EBITDA margin level. And would that be at least 2-3 quarters away? Would that be a right assumption to make?
Harshit, if we can self-mute, please. There's background disturbance. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello?
Yourself, Harshit? Thank you. Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Coming to the order book breakup, the current order book is, as I mentioned earlier, it is 24,221.37 crores. And this, again, as I mentioned, comprises mostly of shipbuilding orders, which comes to 99.4%. Now, coming to the order book breakup project-wise, the P-17 Alpha, the balance order remaining is around 13,927 crores. The anti-submarine shallow water craft is around 4,331 crores. The large project is the two ships are remaining, around 729 crores. The next generation offshore petrol vessels, 3,023 crores. The oceanographic research vessel for the NCPO or Ministry of Earth Sciences, around 800 crores, that is 796 crores. The multipurpose vessels, around 520 crores. Two export projects for the government of Bangladesh, around 314 crores. And a naval surface gun project around 235 crores. So this gives you a breakup of the current order book. Your second question was on the margins. So we have been stating this consistently that in shipbuilding, the margins, optimal margins, where satisfactory efficiency is existing, around 7.5% to 8% when we are in a competitive environment. And we have been maintaining this kind of margins, and we are hopeful, we are very confident of maintaining similar margins in future too. Thank you.
Yeah, hi sir. One more question on the next generation Corvette order. What is the status? By Q4, are the tender results expected out, or there could be a delay and probably in FY26 the results would be out? And second thing, you mentioned on the pipeline P-17 Bravo frigate. So is that something, so destroyers will not be coming? Is that a correct understanding? Because what we understand, either frigates would come or destroyers would come in terms of order pipeline over next 2-3 years. Any color on that would be helpful.
Okay, I'll give my views on this. The next generation Corvette, as I had briefed before, that we have already submitted the bid. There are four shipyards who have bid for this project, and currently the technical evaluation is in progress, and we expect the bid to be opened either in December or January, I mean December 24, or as close as January 25. What I'm trying to convey is that in our appreciation, the bid results will be declared during the current financial itself. Of course, then the contract negotiations will happen, and we expect the order to be signed only during the next financial year. Your next question was on the P-17 Bravo project and the next generation destroyer project. For the P-17 Bravo project, the DAC, the Defense Acquisition Council, has already accorded the AON. And what I'm trying to convey is the clock has started. So once the AON has been accorded, the Navy finalizes their SOTR and the RFP will be promulgated. We expect the RFP to come out sometime in the calendar year 2025. That means during FY26, we expect the RFP to come out. And coming to the next generation destroyers, yes, in our appreciation, as per our assessment of the prospective plan of the Navy, Navy is in need of these vessels. At this moment, we do not have any clarity as to when the project is going to fructify because they have not yet gone for the AON. So does that answer your query? NGC, P-17 Bravo, and the next generation destroyer.
Thank you for answering all the questions and wishing you all the best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. Three questions from my side. So this quarter, if we see the gross margin has declined, it is now below 30%. While I understand that quarter on quarter, we should not look at, you know, a defense company. But since this 30%, below 30%, we have not seen for a very long time in many, many quarters. So just wanted to understand what is behind that. Is it just the execution phase or, you know, we expect to see margins, gross margin at these levels only?
Okay, if you are looking at the gross margins,
yes.
During our earlier interactions also, I have maintained that we will be providing a margin which are consistent in terms of, if you are looking at the PAT margins around 8%, which we are maintaining, and I expect a similar trend to continue in future also. We don't see any decline, nor we do not expect any steep rise. We'll be maintaining this kind of margins in future too. The margins in most of our revenue is coming from shipbuilding. Yes, we have ventured into ship repairs where the margins are much better. So as and when our ship repair revenue goes up, the margins, the high margins of the ship repair segment will offset the relatively lower margins of shipbuilding, and we could see an increase. But all I can say at this moment, considering our current order book and the execution strategy, the current margins we'll be able to maintain.
Okay, sir. That's very clear. The second one is on next generation Corvette. Now, two parts here. The first one is that when you mentioned to Harsh's answer that, you know, that you expect the contract negotiation to go on in next financial year. Assuming that, you know, we finish the contract negotiation in next financial year and we are ready for, you know, and we get the order. So how much time will it take for us to mobilize and start recording the revenue?
Okay, very interesting question. If you just take the timeline, logical, realistic timelines. Now, if the bid is going to be open by December 24th, January 25th, and let us put a very reasonable figure about 6 months for contract negotiations and 6 to 8 months. That means in Q3 of FY26, if the contract is concluded, the revenue recognition will start 2 years from then. If GRSC gets its order, it is perfect in terms of the timeline. Why perfect is It is, I think, from 26, if you take 2 years, that comes to 2028. And that perhaps is the time when our current order book will get exhausted. So time and space-wise, the NGC project is moving in the right direction, if we get it. I'm just crossing my fingers. If we get it, 2026 mid, 2 years hence, the revenue recognition starts, and that is the time when more or less our existing order book gets exhausted. That's the time for your question?
Yes, sir, certainly. And the part B of this question is that what level of indigenization are we targeting on this NGP?
Okay. The indigenization, if you see, I'm sure you're keeping track of not only our company, but all the shipbuilding companies in India. Indigenization is the focus area of the government, and almost all the shipyards have a clear mandate to maximize the indigenous content on both the ships. And as evident over the last 2-3 projects that we have completed, be it the landing craft utility project, be it the anti-submarine corvette project, or something like the fast patrol vessel for the Indian Coast Guard, the indigenization content has been hovering between 80% to 92%. Now, for the P-17 Alpha project, it's a major project, where certain equipment are of import nature, the indigenization content is around 80% to 82%. But the other three projects which we have, again, it hovers in this direction. I am not, at this moment, assuming any major change in the indigenization content, even in NGC. I expect it to be, it's our appreciation, that it will be between 85% to 90% tops. But there will still be an element of import content in that, maybe in part of the proportion package or some of the weapon and services. So around 10% at an optimistic level import content and 15% at the pessimistic level.
Okay, that's very clear, sir. The third question from my side is that there are some media articles suggesting that we are planning indigenous power crafts for military operations. So just wanted to get your thoughts on this, you know, and we are trying to collaborate with some private sector also, that is what that media article says. So are we doing something on that front, and what kind of market we see, and if so, when it will translate into, you know, revenue or orders for us?
Okay. As far as hovercrafts are concerned, so far, hovercrafts are being used only by the Indian Coast Guard. And Indian Coast Guard has two sets of hovercrafts, one which they directly imported from a UK-based company, Griffin. And second, manufactured by GRC through a collaboration with Griffin. This is past history. Now, both the Coast Guard and Army, they need hovercrafts. The business volumes at this juncture, I do not see it very, very attractive, but there is a need to indigenize hovercraft because hovercraft manufacturing technology so far is not available in India. It is with this intent that we have taken an initiative, and you may be aware that there is a Department of Defense Production has a scheme, the IDEX scheme, for encouraging startups to come up, startup and private sector to come up with the solutions towards indigenization and new product development. So we have put this as a challenge. And we have identified a partner, a private sector partner, and we are confident of achieving indigenization of the hovercrafts by 2027. Because it takes time, because certain components, the technology has to be developed. So we expect a 3-year period to develop this product. And second question what you asked is, what is the potential? Both the Coast Guard and the Army has got the requirement. And if the product is indigenous, naturally the cost is going to be much lesser and the maintenance aspects will be much better handled in India. So I expect a potential, I would not say huge potential, but reasonable market potential for this product sometime in the early 30s.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you so much for answering my questions and all the best.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sunil Shah from SRE PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just need to have an understanding on the P-17 Bravo project. Sir, our P-17 Alpha is going to get completed by August 26, is what I understand from your notes. Sir, what would be the timeline for this P-17 Bravo to recognize the revenue for us, the way in which you explained about, you know, the next generation Corvette, which is 2 years after we get the order. Similarly, if we get 4 orders for B17 Bravo, sir, how would the revenue recognition happen in terms of the timeline? If you could make me understand that piece.
Okay, you heard about Nostradamus?
Sorry, sir?
You heard about Nostradamus, Nostradamus.
Sir, we are working with an assumption of, you know, 4 out of 7.
I have already bitten the bait because anything which is predictive is interesting. So long as you take it in the right spirit. I mean, the market takes the right spirit.
Yes, sir. Please, please. Okay. Good.
The fact is that B7 Bravo, the AON has been already accorded in the last deal. So the clock has started ticking for Navy to come up with the RFP. The best case scenario, the RFP could come out during, is our assumption, it's only an assumption, that the RFP could come out during mid-2026 calendar year. The project is a big project. It's the 2 shipyards would be undertaking this project. It's a 7-ship project and O&M cost is around 70,000 crores. The L1 shipyard could get 40,000 crores worth order around. And the second shipyard, 3 ships are the proportionate cost. So if the RFP is out during mid-2026, you keep an year from the RFP to contract signing, best case I'm telling. That means mid-2026, the contract will be signed. And as with the other project, it will take 2 years for the revenue recognition, which should come to 2028-29. This is the
contract. Okay, okay. Thanks, sir. Thanks for all this understanding that you gave me. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question from the line of Vijay Bayani from Samyak Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. Sir, I would like to understand about this government's new initiative of, you know, the Indian shipbuilding industry right now is very small in the global context, and we are hearing that the government wants to bring Indian shipbuilding industry among the top 5 in the world, and that the government is planning to give it an infrastructure status and all kind of incentives, you know, to boost the Indian shipbuilding industry. So if you can explain, sir, what exactly is the government planning to do, what kind of incentives they are likely to give, by what time frame this is likely to come, and most importantly, sir, how can JRSE benefit out of this whole thing, sir? That is my one question, sir.
Okay, thank you. Whatever, yes, it's the fact that the government has already started the process of formulating a shipbuilding policy framework to, with a sole aim to bring India into the top nations in terms of shipbuilding. Yes, our market share in the overall global shipbuilding scenario as a nation is, it is abysmally low, and the intent is to enhance this and become one of the top nations. Whatever initiatives currently the government is taking is all that is available in the open media. Open source information only is available. Now, our assessment is that the shipbuilding financial assistance scheme would continue, because right now the scheme is available and it is for a specific time frame. That scheme will continue. Second, there will be focus on green initiatives with a clear intent for a transition from conventional energy driven platforms, green energy platforms. Third, there would be a focus on linking shipbreaking with shipbuilding, which means if a very innovative scheme they are proposing, they are likely to propose, is that if a ship owner breaks the ship in India, he gets a certain amount of credit. And if he builds the next ship in India, he can avail the credit. So such very, very innovative schemes are likely to come up. As far as the timeline is concerned, it's anyone's guess. It's one of the, as I understand, it's one of the focus areas of the government. So anytime now, because as I understand, the process is at advanced stages. So anytime now, maybe in the next 3 to 6 months, the policy framework could come out. Now, coming to GRSE, yes. While our focus has been, is, and would be primary focus would be on warship building, for which there is already a structured process, because warship building thrives on a prospective plan of both the armed forces, that is the Navy and the Coast Guard, and the budget availability. So there's a very structured plan. Our primary focus would remain on warship building, but considering the opportunities available in the non-defense segment, we are already, we are aware that this policy framework is going to come. The government focus would be on encouraging shipbuilding in India. So with that clear understanding, we have slowly diversified into and prepared ourselves into one, prepared ourselves through one, gaining experience in construction of commercial ships. The results are here. Gaining experience in building specialized research vessels. Again, the results are here to see. We already got order and execution. Gaining experience by developing green energy vessels. Again, we already developed more orders already in hand. And fourth, capacity enhancement. That is capability already we have. Capacity enhancement. Infrastructure and enhancement process has already commenced. What we have targeted, JRC's target would be to achieve a shipbuilding capacity of around 28 ships concurrently. We are at 24 now. By 2025, we'll be able to achieve that. So to answer your specific question, what is in store for JRC? Very much is on the anvil, and we are fully geared to take on this challenge in the coming years. Thank you.
Sir, so will there be some kind of a PLI scheme for shipbuilding industry under the financial assistance program?
As for my understanding, while infrastructure status may be there, at this juncture, it's my understanding that there is no thought process to accord, rather to provide a PLI scheme for shipbuilding.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Basant Bansal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. I have two, three questions. The first one is that in your opening remark, you said that you are working on 3-4 projects for the government of Bangladesh. So are you facing any challenge in terms of execution because of the social unrest kind of situation prevailing over there? Secondly, you are working on 24 projects, as you said. So are you facing any challenge in terms of, again, execution due to supply chain related issue or any other issue which can delay the execution part? And the third one is that in the first half, you have clocked 30% revenue growth. So will it be maintained for the full year, for the current year, as well as for the subsequent years?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Basant. I'll address your questions one by one. You're asked about Bangladesh. Yes, we are executing 3 projects for Bangladesh. But if you see our overall order book and compare it with the orders in hand for Bangladesh, the total order value from Bangladesh is just about 300 crores, which comes to about 1.5% of our total order book. So the impact on the company is negligible. Now, coming to the impact on the projects, we have been undertaking a petrol vessel project, petrol boat project for Bangladesh. 50% of the boats already delivered, and the other 3 boats will be delivered by end of the year. We don't envisage any issue with that. The other 2 projects, again, are very, very small projects. One is for a dredger and one is for a tug. The dredger project is moving in the right direction. The tug project is still in the preparatory phase. So on that, we don't see any impact. And on a positive note, I feel as a nation, this is just a passing phase. It's a dip that they have. Once the things stabilize, I don't see any issue, especially considering the shipbuilding, unlike any other manufacturing industry, the projects are long-term projects. So by the time the situation becomes normal, the project continues what it has been doing and to catch up for whatever initial teething issues are there. So I don't see any problems with the Bangladesh project. Coming to the supply chain impact on shipbuilding, there was a time in the post-COVID phase, not definitely during the COVID phase and post-COVID phase, there was an issue with the supply chain, but those issues have been fully tided over, and at this juncture, we do not have any supply chain issues. When I said 24 means, what I meant was that JRSC has got the capacity to construct 24 vessels concurrently within our physical boundaries. To answer your question, nil impact on supply chain as of now. Coming to revenue growth, yes, we have registered 30% growth during the first half of the year. Here I would like to make a statement which I'm only reiterating what I had mentioned during our previous interactions, that we had assured a CAGR of around 25% during the four-year period from FY23 to FY27. We are confident of maintaining that kind of CAGR. We'll only exceed your expectations, maintaining similar growth rate. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Karthik Bhatt from Kuber Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, if you can throw some light on the contract that he signed with this German company, I think as for multi-purpose vessels, was it a competitive bid? How many other companies were bidding? What is the order value and the timeline over which it should be delivered?
Sorry, Mr. Karthik, could you repeat that? Perhaps I didn't register properly. Could you please repeat the question?
The contract that you signed with the German company for multi-purpose vessels, 8 multi-purpose vessels, I believe. So was it a competitive bid? What is the order value and the timeline over which it should be delivered?
Okay. Yes, this is for the orders for a German client, 8 multi-purpose vessels. And the initial contract when we signed about 4 months back was for 4 ships with an option clause for another 4 ships. And we already exercised the option clause. And as of now, we have signed contracts for 5 of the vessels. And the total order value and the next 3 ships will be signing the contract by March 25. And the total order value for the 8 ships is around 890 crores. And to answer your question, the foreign clients, they did not go on a conventional tendering and competitive process. They approach potential shipyards directly, do a capacity assessment, and when they find a particular shipyard is competent and capable of undertaking, executing their project, they take a bid from us, then they negotiate with us. They have a method. I'm sure they would have approached multiple shipyards before homing on to JRSC and assisting our capacity. To answer your question, the order value is around 890 crores.
Okay. And sir, I believe there is a first contract with a European company, and I think in the last call also you were alluding to a lot of European nations looking at India as a destination for construction of commercial vessels. So are we in talks with most such companies? I mean, is it a sign of things to come that we'll be participating in most such contracts and tenders?
Yes, it is a sign of things to come. And more European clients are approaching, not only us, all the Indian shipyards, they are looking seriously at India as the hub for commercial shipbuilding. It is a very, very positive sign and a good, let us say, sign of things to come in the future. And we will be actively pursuing more opportunities in this segment.
That's great to hear, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Harshit Kapadia from Ilara Capital. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, my question is largely on your working capital. There has been a specific budget which is given to Indian Navy. Till now, your working capital has been extremely good. Now, there are two big projects which Indian Navy is going to import. One is a drone and the other is Rafael MS for news reports in this financial year. Do you think this can strain your receivables at least for a year
as we approach March 2025, any color would be helpful.
Okay, I'll put it this way. In the budget capital, budget allocation, all three services are given the funds based on the projections and, of course, the decision of the government. In our appreciation, the budget allocated to Indian Navy is more than adequate to meet the requirements of the ongoing projects. Neither would the drone nor the Rafael projects, which have been publicized now, would have any impact on the fund flow from the ongoing capital projects of the Indian Navy. Coming to the future projects, once an AON is accorded, it is with the consideration that the budget is available. So I'm even talking about be it an NGC or be it, I'm not talking about the orders already in line where I have told zero impact. I'm only speaking about the orders on the anvil, be it NGC or be it P-17 Bravo. These considerations have already been factored while according AON or coming out with RFP. So we do not see any budget constraint. And another point I'd like to highlight is that unlike an outright purchase where you expend the complete project value in one shot, in case of shipbuilding, it is spread over a period of time, sometimes ranging from 3 years for a small platform or a project to 5 to 10 years for a large project. Some of the, like you take the indigenous aircraft project pictures being handled by one of the other Indian shipyards, the project is almost 12 to 13 years long. So budget is not a constraint in my appreciation as far as the projects which we are executing or what we are likely to get in the coming years. Thank you.
Okay, sir. And just one final question on the electric ferry. So if this help us understand, sir, there is no change in the design of a ship. You largely replace a diesel engine in a ship with an electrical engine. Is that a correct understanding? And are you right now manufacturing or importing this engine? If you can give a color on that.
Okay. In case of, when we say a zero emission vessel, what we try to convey is that the emissions which come from a diesel engine or a gas turbine or a erstwhile coal engine, that is no longer there. While an engine is not there, the propulsion mode that is used in a ferry, electric ferry, is the battery. The batteries drive a propulsion motor, and the propulsion motor in turn drives the shaft which propels the ship. This is the basic difference. Whereas in case of a diesel engine or a gas turbine propeller or a steam propeller ship, the steam engine, the diesel engine, or the gas turbine drives through a gearbox the shaft. Here the shaft driving is undertaken by a propulsion motor, which in turn gets power from a battery pack. The batteries are of different types. I'm sure you would not like me to get into those details. But the basic difference is the conventional propulsion methods are not available.
Understood. Yeah, sir. That's helpful.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Basant Bansal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, when I see your sales receivable turnover ratio for the last year, 6 months, it was 39.48 and now it is 19.64. So this stark variation, can you explain this?
Could you repeat the turnover to what ratio?
Trade receivable turnover ratio. So last year for the 6 months it was 39.48 and for the current year 6 months it is 19.64. So can you explain me what is this?
Yes, I will just request my director of finance and CFO to answer this question.
Actually, in shipbuilding, last days of payment we get after it is the receivables get delayed. Initial period, the receivable will be very fast. In the last moment, there will be some guarantee period. Because of the guarantee period, the last test payment gets delayed by 1 year. So because of that, whenever the delivery, there will be more delivery, receivable accumulation will be more. So whatever discrepancy you are finding, the reason is because of when daily of started. Now we have started delivering, so receivable will go.
In the last few months, we have delivered two vessels, two survey vessels, and their last stage payment, their last trade receivable stage payment, is contractually also, it is linked to the guarantee period. And that is the reason why the turnover to receivable ratio is varying.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yashasri. And it has always been a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to interact with you. And I look forward to such interactions because it's an eye-opener as to what you expect from us. And I'm very confident that to the best of our ability, we have tried to clarify all your queries and looking forward to meeting you next. Thank you, Jai Hind.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gaurav and Yashasri. Thank you.
It was our pleasure, sir. On behalf of Garden Reach Shipbuilders and Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.